Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So are you ready?
Yes.
I want to share a story with you in the Word of God. And that story, you have different writers talking about it. So let's start. Go to Matthew 26, verse 6. We'll just look at their story, and then we'll look at some lessons from it. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say glory.
Glory.
All right. Verse 6. Let's look at it together. It says, now remember, we're talking about spiritual understanding, right?
Yes, Pastor.
So let's look at it. It says, now when are you paying attention?
Yes, Pastor.
Please, just pay attention. It says, now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, verse 7, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. So he was about to eat and someone just comes with perfume, an anointing. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? This ointment was very precious. You know, there are different types of perfumes. There's a 100 naira one. I thought you were on that bridge. You see it there at night. How did I know? Don't worry. But yeah, the 100 naira perfume. You spray that perfume. I tag it juju powder. There's the one that is 5,000. There's the one that the price cannot be named. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Those times, I remember when Mr. Dixon came back from outside the country and he brought perfume. And, you know, I said, the stuff you brought, I can't perceive it. He said, look at it, it's here. Smell it here. Smell it here. That was so funny. Because perfumes like that, you have to touch. Touch, do you understand? Not plenty. The one that 100 naira, four. Because after 2 minutes, it will disappear. But that one, touch, and then you tell them, smell. I actually smell something. All right. So this one was very precious. And she poured everything. Do you understand? She poured everything. When the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? They said, what is the purpose of this waste? I mean, you bought something worth 1 million, and you pour it at once. Verse 9. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. So they're complaining. They're saying, how could you pour everything like this? You could have sold everything and given to the poor. And let me add and buy a car or an iPhone. But she just poured everything. Verse 10. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? I love Jesus so much. He's defending her. He thinks they're the ones with the problem. Firstly, it's her money. She can do what she wants with her money. And if you're here, you're one of those people that always tell people what to do with their money. Or you always plan people's money for them. Change. Why trouble ye the woman? Why are you trying her? He says, for she had wrought a good work for me. This is so amazing. Think about it. This woman poured ointment on Jesus and they thought it was a waste. The one she anointed said, what she did was good for me. Verse 11. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verse 13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world. Jesus had a vision. He was in Israel. And he's prophesying that the gospel will go around the world. There shall also this, that this woman had done, be told for a memorial of her. She said, this thing that she has done, people would always remember. And how true. I'm talking about it right now. And I remember there's a song, and there are different songs about this woman. So Jesus was right. Interesting. Let's look at another account. Go to Mark 14, verse 3. Mark 14, verse 3. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just join us on the screen. It says, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment or spike me as very precious. So it's the same story, different authors. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
And she break the box and poured it on his head. Verse 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. Matthew tells us it's his disciples.
Yeah.
They were upset and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made?" Verse 5. "For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. This is like a year's salary. That's what 300 pence is. A year's salary. "And I've been given to the poor," so they've calculated. You know, it is common when you smell some perfume, you already know like how much it will cost.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Like talk about the 100 naira perfume. When you smell it, say, "Ah, what was all this?" All right? So they've calculated because the Bible says the whole place was filled with the aroma. When she broke it, what's that? So they calculated this thing can cost someone's salary for a year. It was that expensive. It says, "I've been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. They started talking about this woman. Look at this one. Wasteful. Someone cannot marry her. She just wastes everything. Are you saying that?
Yes, Pastor.
Murmured against her. Verse 6. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Leave her alone." Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
"Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always." Verse 8. "She hath done what she could. She is come of her hand to anoint my body to the burying." Verse 9. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." I'm just thinking how intimidating they might have been. 12 men complain about one woman and saying she did something bad. You know, if 12 people tell you you're wrong, you begin to think maybe you were wrong.
Yeah.
Until Jesus spoke up. And he's greater than 12.
Yes.
Go to John 12, verse 1. John 12, verse 1. Let's look at it together. It says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." So we are being told someone else was in that meeting. All right? Remember, Lazarus died in chapter 11, and Jesus raised him from the dead. So he was in that place. Verse 2. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
"There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." Verse 3. "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of perfume." Now remember, Matthew and Mark said head. She said feet. The point is, she poured perfume. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yeah, because these are different accounts. Now, you have three people here. After the service, ask three of them what happened. You'll hear different stories. But there'll be something consistent, and that's the most important thing.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes,
so some people say, Matthew said this, Mark said this, Luke said, people are confused. No, there are accounts. So Matthew can say two blind men got healed. Mark said it's one. John said not say anything. The point is someone got healed. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
It's not that confusing. Now is it hard? All right? Okay, so let's continue. It says, "And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Verse 4. "Then said one of the disciples," now you know I talked about 100 naira perfume. "Is that, if that is the one you can afford, wear it with pride."
Yes, Pastor.
Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Some perfume you think is expensive, they're actually very, very affordable. All right. "Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son," which will betray him. Look at it. He's telling us who started it. Because think about it, you have 12 men in a place. How can all 12 of them just start complaining at once? Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Someone must have started it. So now he's telling us who started it. Verse 4. "Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, we should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence?" So he was the one that calculated the price and given to the poor. He was the one who started telling the disciples. Can you imagine this woman? Verse 6. "This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief." and had the bag. If she saw the perfume, the money is coming to him. Let me tell you something. When you have a lot of money, it's very easy to make mistakes, and it's not be noticeable. If you had 2,000 naira here and 1,000 naira gets missing, you will know. You see someone after the service going up and down. What happened? My 1,000. If you had 2,000 in your account and your bank debited 1,000, you would know. You will feel it. If you had 1 billion and it took 1,000, you wouldn't feel it. Yes. So it's easier to steal when the money is much than when it is not. So now, this is a year's salary. Judas is the treasurer. He has been stealing before. Now you have a year's salary. It's just calculated. If this came in, I can take two. And nobody would know. So look at it, verse 6. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag and bare what was put therein. That's real, he just took. I want coke. I want buns. Verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing has she kept this. Verse 8. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Verse 9. All right. Let's stop there. Verse 8. Okay, so three different stories. Did you get something there?
Yes, Pastor.
You listened to them?
Yes.
Okay. So there are many things to learn from this account. I'm going to share some that I think will be beneficial to you. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
So the first thing to notice is people will complain that your giving to God instead of to the poor people have always existed. There are people like that today. They say, why will I give my tithe to church? I go to a poor man and I just give it to him. He will use it. They've always existed. Didn't start today. People will say, why would you give offering? I remember I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me, when he goes to church, he gives 20 naira, 50 change. I'd rather give his money to help people than to give it to God. People have not changed. Sounds smart. Very unwise. So don't let anybody try to intimidate you that you're giving to the Lord. You're paying your tithes. You're giving your offerings. Because people like that always existed. And you know what? They are so ignorant of God's word. They don't know what they are doing is in the Bible. And the person who did it, and the people who did it, Jesus rebuked them. And he has not changed. Think about it. How can giving to Jesus be a waste? So that's number one. Don't get intimidated. Give to God with your full chest. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Number two, people who complain that what you're giving to God is too expensive or too much have always existed. It could be your time, it could be your money. It's every day church, you don't used to miss church. Now we can't hold the meeting on Sunday because you want to go to church. They've always existed. Don't mind them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm just thinking, this is John 12. And Lazarus was in this meeting. Lazarus was Mary's brother that died. And this was the Jesus who brought him back to life. How can giving him anything be a waste? What is the cost of a human life? It is more than 1 year's salary. If you love Jesus, nothing is too big for him. Nothing is too good for him. He gave his life for you.
Yes.
He thought nothing was too good for you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So giving me your time is not a waste. Someone says, this Sunday I should just rest now. I've been busy throughout the week. Busy with who? Busy for who? For man. That has the ability to fail you. But one day, few hours to give to God. Think about it. Do you know you come to this place 4 times in a month? Have you thought about it before?
Yes.
Just 4 times. At times 5. Just 4 out of 30 days. How can that be a waste? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, in my life.
In my life.
Nothing
is too good for God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So people like that have always existed. Always existed. How much did you give to God? 1 million. 1 million. Hey. 1 million. that's a car. 1 million. That's a rent. Then you remind them, I gave it to the God who has given me more than that. And who would give me more?
Yeah.
It's not a waste.
It's not a waste.
So see all the talent you have, just wasting it in that church. Just wasting it in that church. This is the church that will continue forever. It's not a waste. Mm. This is the best investment ever.
Yes.
It's not a waste. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Did you get that?
Yes, Pastor.
It's not a waste. It's not a waste. Number three thing to learn from this story is about Judas and how he was the one who organized, rallied the disciples to complain about this woman. What was the mission? He rallied them to complain that this woman, this money that she gave, she could have given it to poor people. Meaning that he had a better use for the money than the woman. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. One of the things to learn, just as an aside, is that don't complain about how people spend their own money. It's not yours. If someone had 1 million in order to buy a hole, leave them. It's their money. Do you understand?
Yes,
someone says, this money, I know what I could have done with it. That's why it did not come to you. I remember, praise the Lord, I was in an eatery. I wanted to get something. And two people were in front of me. And another lady or a guy, not sure now, bought rice, chicken, do you understand? Everything was like 2,000, 3,500. Anyway, between 1,500 and 3,500. Quite expensive, do you understand? So the lady who was with the guy said, how can they spend this much on food? I can buy 1 kilo chicken and cook stew. And I was just standing there listening. Then she asked for 2 meat pie and drink. And I thought in my mind, 2 meat pie, 600 naira. That's six, because then drink 100 naira. That's 6 Pepsi. You see, she's not thinking about it, but she's also spending money. That is Gary. Do you understand? With sugar and milk, that can last for a month. So it's easy to complain about other people's money because you think it's too much for you. If you thought it was small, you'll not complain. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You bought that shoe, 200,000. Why? Because your shoe is 1,500. Anyway, don't complain about other people's money. Do you understand? Okay. But it's Judas I want you to pay attention to. And those disciples, they began to complain because someone told them to. And they didn't even know that what he was suggesting, giving to the poor, he was being selfish. He had no plans to give it to the poor. Are you seeing that?
Yes, Pastor.
Think about it. These disciples didn't know they had become pawns. He was using them. They thought they were protesting about something that was right, but they were being used for his selfish gains, and they didn't know. Imagine if Judas had said, all right, pack the perfume, pack it. How would they pack it? Just capture anyone you can capture and sell it. Judas would have benefited. The rest of them would have thought we did something great, not knowing that they were used. So in your life, it matters who's inspiring you to do the things that you do. It's not every argument you join. You don't know who started it. You don't know the motivation behind the argument. But he says it's a good cause. What Judas said was a good cause. He said, instead of giving to Jesus, give to the poor. Is that not a good thing? Don't you want to give to the poor? Come on. Are you guys in this place?
Yes,
you don't want to give to the poor again? No, Jesus said you should give to the poor. All right? But it's just common sense. You prioritize Jesus over the poor.
Yes.
Not because you dislike them, but because you love Jesus.
Yes.
So these people, Judas masterminded using them. They were protesting. They didn't know they were being used. And there are people like that. They've left associations, organizations, relationships, because one person left and complained. Till they get to heaven and realize that person's complaint was selfish, unreasonable, and probably a lie. They changed their life's course because of one person they didn't really know. What a life. What Judas said sounded nice. What the apostles were saying sounded nice. But something sounding nice doesn't mean it's of God. So it matters who's inspiring you. At times you're just angry. Who caused it? What did you hear that made you angry? There are people who don't see anything good in Nigeria. And there are the reasons why a lot of people don't see anything good in Nigeria. And those people who don't see anything good in Nigeria don't even know that the reason why they think that is because of one man or two people. They think it's because of them. No. Someone's planted the seed on purpose for his political ambitions. And you don't even know. You think it's a good cause, but you're being used. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So it hasn't changed. People are like that. Judas was like that. So don't just join everything. See, this is spiritual understanding. You have to understand. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't be in a haste. Don't be in a haste to give your opinions. I said that before. I think I was wearing this jacket when I said it in church. Don't be in a haste to give your opinions. Or to join. Now, you have people, especially in social media, even though I didn't want to say it, insulting people they should not insult. Arguing with people they should not argue with. Why? Because of something someone that they did not know started. They don't know. They have no clue why. It looks nice. But what is the motivation? Let me tell you something. Don't think, I didn't know now it's being used. Means that if the consequences come, they won't land on your head. They would. The Bible tells us of Absalom. Are you paying attention to me? David had done something wrong, so punishment was upon his life. And so his son, Absalom, had killed his elder son, Amnon, and ran away. But after some years, Absalom returned and became a good daddy's man, even though David didn't really want to talk to him, but he was now active in the palace. But Absalom started plotting against David, and David didn't know. Because it took years, David refused to die. And if David died, Absalom would be the king. But this man refused to die. So Absalom decided, okay, while he's still alive, I'll take the throne from him. So the Bible tells us that Absalom would be in front of the palace. Anybody that came to see David, they'll meet Absalom first. And Absalom will say, what is your problem? And they will tell him, and he'll say, your matter is a serious one. But you see, the king doesn't have time. He doesn't have time for people like this. For cases like this. So he was winning their hearts. Are you seeing that? A time came that Absalom called a meeting. He was now ready to overthrow the king. He called a meeting, called different people. Those he had been nice to. Do you understand? And they came. And you know what? The Bible says most of them didn't know why they were there. They didn't know just to overthrow the king. But the Bible says they were part of the conspiracy. Even though they didn't know that they were being treasonous in God's eyes. They were part of the conspiracy. Because there were plenty, Absalom had enough people power to try to overthrow King David. But he did not succeed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So my point is, it matters. The argument you join, everybody insulting that person you used to insult. Were you there? No. You see, according to the things that I have heard, really, do you know people lie?
Yes.
Do you know people lie? Jesus, and I'll get there, Jesus was arrested. And the Bible says the Pharisees and the chief priests sought, they had many witnesses. I look at that every time and I think, oh my goodness, many who came to testify against Jesus, and they were all lying. And they knew their lie would put this man to death, and they didn't care. Many. So because many people are testifying doesn't mean it's true. So don't join them. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that find it. Why? Because it's wide. Once it's wide, everybody can see it. It's good road. So because many people are criticizing, insulting, have their opinions, doesn't mean you should have one. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Leave the matter for God. Let me show you something that is so nice. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Not in my notes, but I want to share it because I'm trying to tell you to leave the matter for God. There's really cases where you were not there. You know, at times, I look at some people giving arguments, opinions, whatever, about a matter. between two people, and they were not there. I just think, do people forget? For the praise of man, do you forget yourself? If you were not there, brother, sister, you were not there. Meaning we should not listen to you. You don't know anything you're saying. Truly, you don't know because you were not there. Are you in this place?
Yes, Master.
You don't know. Someone said, word of knowledge. Not true. It's so sad. At times, you have a whole bunch of people dumping against someone, and that person might be innocent. And you might never know until you get to heaven and see what you have done. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I just want to show you something nice about Jesus. All right? 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 22. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you in this place? That's why the word of God says be slow to speak. All right. I used to tell people, so I don't know if I've shared it before, but I used to tell my leaders something. I used to say, and I still say it besides. If something happened against a person, and the person has not said anything, maybe on the internet or whatever, and they're accusing the person, and the person has not said anything, don't say anything. Because the person who is being accused has not said anything, so what do you want to say? If the person has said something, then don't say anything. Because the person accused has said what he said is enough. All round, don't say anything. Jesus was alive when his cousin was killed, John the Baptist. And he was killed unjustly. You know why they killed him? Firstly, he said something that Herod did was wrong. He married his brother's wife. Secondly, it was to please a girl on her birthday. A girl, a small girl, was what the head of a prophet. Jesus said he was more than a prophet. And Jesus knew. They came to tell him Matthew 14. Why did he go and protest? He had followers too. Are you in this place? He could have gone to protest. Say, Herod, your time is up. He didn't. I was as he went to Bethsaida, he saw people there, preached, healed the sick, moved on. So one day, they brought provocation for him. In Luke 13, they told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifice. Remember, he was from Galilee.
Yes.
So now they're telling him, your people, Pilate just killed them and mixed their blood with sacrifice. Maybe they were expecting him to protest against Pilate. You know what he said? He said, you think because they died that way, they are greater sinners than you? So if you don't repent, you'll die like that. And the 12 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell in Jerusalem. He was trying to say there was an event where 12 people were there. No, 18 people were there, and a tower fell on them. He said, you think they are greater sinners because they died that way? Someone is not a great sinner because of how he died. And he moved on. Slow to speak. So you should be slow to speak. Look at Jesus. He says, who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. Says he did not lie. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. That means when he was insulted, he didn't insult back. When he suffered, he threatened not. I like this one. There are people, because they are children of God, you cannot take their slippers. They say, you wear the slippers of a child of God. Leprosy is a real thing. You know, look at Jesus. When he suffered, he didn't threaten anybody. But committed himself to him that judgeth what?
Righteously.
Some simpler version said he committed himself to God who judges right. So there's a matter. Commit to God. If the disciples thought this way, when Judas was complaining, they would say, leave it. The Jesus that she poured ointment for, has he complained? No. Mind your business and face front. Don't be like disciples. Easily used. I just think that people will get aggravated because of what someone said. And you have not realized that you're a two. At least the ones that get aggravated because they pay their money. There's something useful there. For you, someone just said something. Say, now, I'm so angry, I can't sleep. What? Boy, you think everybody is like that? I'm not like that, and there are many people here that are not like that. You can't come. You should not be so easily inspired. That someone knows that if they come and tell you, you get angry. They know. They know what can make you angry. No. Whatever news, whatever it is, they can say in the next 2 minutes, Nigeria will blow. Calm down. Who's sending the message? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Who's sending the message? And like all those WhatsApp BCs, you know them, right? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's a fourth point I want to share. But since I still have time, let me digress a bit. Remind you, there's a fourth point, all right? I said WhatsApp BCs. When I was in 100 level, something happened. That was when WhatsApp, and was it WhatsApp now? No, text message. Not even sure. There was a viral message at night, late at night, that a prominent minister is telling his children that the angel of death is passing around to. Who got that message? I don't know. Okay, he's passing around. Do you remember that message? All right. He's passing around 12, and people should pray. Well, I was not a serious Christian, so you can imagine. I came downstairs to pray. People that have not been praying, they don't want to die. When I came downstairs, my shock. See multitude. Just praying. Praying. That's not even the interesting part. At the point, I got tired, so I just stayed by the car there, and just looked at them because I was tired. Why? Because different people started coming up as voices of God, giving useless instructions. There was one lady I know. I don't want to criticize anybody, but I know that lady. There is no way that lady should be giving spiritual instructions. But she came up, giving instructions. Now, here's what, it's not instructions, but the people were doing it. One came and said, let us all kneel down, and ask God for forgiveness, everybody kneel down. That's where I got tired. So I sat. Then another lady came and said, you will not believe it. It was like we're now doing idol worship. One came and said, face the north and bow like this. People did it. Face the west and bow like this. I'm telling you serious stuff. Even me, that was not a serious Christian. I said, this thing has gone far. Who are we worshiping? Who are we bowing to? But my point is, that is how easily some people can be inspired to do silly things, to get provoked. You don't even know. Later on, we found out the minister did not send that message. It was someone else. So everything we did that day. So it's exercise. Absolute rubbish. I'm just wondering what Jesus would have thought, looking at us. So what is this thing? We're bombing down. Oh my goodness. Know your God. All right? And I feel sorry for people who don't know God. And everything you're doing in your life about God is what someone else said. You don't even know if what you're doing is true. You are just doing. No, this thing I just said now, so people laughed. Let me night. A message goes viral and it is confirmed on Instagram. Some people that laugh will do if I see bowing down, say, roll on the floor. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So don't be like the apostles. All right. You don't know who is inspiring that person to talk. You don't know what's inspiring him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Now the fourth thing to get, and that is something that he mentioned that we're going to look at and then we'll pray. Very remarkable. Go to Matthew 26. I don't know if you noticed it. All right. But I did. He talked about, did you notice this term? The day of his burial.
Yes.
Did you notice that?
Yes, Pastor.
Did you wonder what it meant? Look at verse 12, Matthew 26, verse 12. He says, For in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. This is perfume. What perfume? I mean, that means we should all be careful, though. You don't know what you're spraying for your burial. Look at Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 8. She had done what she could. She has come upon her to anoint my body to the burying. Go to John 12, verse 7. John 12, verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burial. I mean, this is almost puzzling. What does it mean, day of his burial? Now he's telling us something more serious. We thought it was just perfume. This woman came to pour on this man's body. But he's telling us here that, she's been led by the Spirit of God. Even though she might not know it. What she's doing is important. It is significant, even though she might not know. The Bible tells us of Caiaphas in John 11, how he said that it is expedient that one man should die for the people. And the Bible says he did not know that he was prophesying because he was high priest. He didn't know, he just said it. So there are things people do, and they don't know the significance of that thing. Now, Jesus is telling us this thing this woman did. She came before I died to do it. What does that mean? Normally, when people die, you rub them with ointment. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Right?
Yes, Pastor.
When they die, then you embalm their body. But now he's this is beautiful. He's talking about his resurrection. Now he's saying that she came to do it before he died. What does that mean? It means that after he died, there might not be an opportunity to do it. Now remember something. Jesus' crucifixion, or rather, his arrest, his trial, his execution. Everything happened within a day. They arrested him at night, tried him early hours of the morning. By 12 o'clock, he was on the cross. There was no time for anybody to prepare for his burial. And they did it on purpose because the Bible says that they didn't want to do it in the feast so there would not be an uproar. Just had disciples. And if they had arrested him in front of all of them, wahala, do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
So everything was fast. You're guilty. Kill him. But there he is. Fast. It was while he was on the cross, the Bible says those that followed him, his acquaintance, stood afar and saw what was happening. And they didn't believe it. I told you last week, even Judas didn't believe it. All right. So they didn't plan for his burying. They didn't prepare for him. All the time he said he would die, they thought he was joking. But then, after he was crucified and he had died, the Bible says Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, a disciple, went to meet Pilate. And he asked for Jesus' body because he had a tomb close by in the garden. All right? A new tomb for himself. So he was a disciple of Jesus, but quietly. So he got the body. In fact, I want to tell you how impromptu the whole thing was. That it was that period he bought the garment. Go to Mark 15. Mark 15, verse 46. It says, and he bought it. Fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher. And the Bible tells us in John 19 that Nicodemus brought myrrh. So everything was fast. They just bought, and just put him there. Do you understand? To give him a good burial. But while this was happening, you had women who always ministered to him, who would have loved to take care of his burying. Do you understand?
Yes,
they would have loved to take care of him. But the next day was the Sabbath, so they couldn't do anything. So they waited. Up until the third day. So the Bible says, while it was still dark, that's in John 20, Mary Magdalene and the other women came to anoint his body. But by the time they got there, the stone had been rolled away. He was no longer there. He was gone. Resurrected. So they missed the opportunity. The opportunity. Maybe the Spirit of God had told them earlier to come and anoint this Jesus on time, but they didn't. But Mary got it. So she came early and anointed him. And Jesus said she did it for my burial. Because after his death, they will not have the opportunity. Because by the time he comes, or they come, he would have resurrected. So what she did with someone like Jesus, who has spiritual understanding, she did the right thing at the right time. The right thing at the right time. And what did she get? A memorial plus more. This tells you, in life, learn to promptly obey the leading of the Spirit. Are you seeing that? Promptly. Don't argue. Don't argue. I told you, be slow when it comes to men. Be very slow. Very slow. Someone comes and says, I have this business, 50,000 naira. Put it. Be very slow. 2 weeks. If it's serious, they will calm down and tell you what it's about. But if they are hastening you up, do it now. Do it now. Else you don't have the opportunity. I didn't even know there was an opportunity before. Are you seeing it? But when it comes to God, be very prompt. When he says pray, pray. Right there. And then. Don't push it. You don't know what is happening where you are not there. And he needs your prayer. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I remember the story I heard about a missionary and his wife. They had gone to some native places to preach. Anyway, somewhere in America, a pastor got a leading to pray. And he told his wife, this is burden. Do you understand? His wife was there at night. He was sleeping. So he started praying, but the burden wasn't being lifted. And so his wife joined him. So they prayed and prayed and prayed until he was okay. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Now he did that missionary. It was the time the missionary came back and said, that period while he was praying, you remember they went to preach to bush people, people who eat human beings. Do you understand? And so they were in their huts. And the people had gathered round their huts, ready to break it down and to sacrifice them and to eat them. Now someone can say, is that really true? Of course it is. 2 years ago, there was a man who went to a native country near India and people killed him. Did you hear that story? He went to preach. Oh, you didn't hear it. What type of stories are you hearing? He went to preach just 2 years ago. I thought some people like this still exist. They're being protected by the country of India, but they are native men. They live in bush. They don't know all these things that you people know. Anyway, so they were ready to kill the man and his wife, the missionaries. So the man told his wife, I'm going out. So he went out. Now he could speak their language. Do you understand? So he was trained. Of course, he's doing missionary work there. But they were, even if you can speak their language, it doesn't matter. They want to kill you. So he went out to talk to them. When he went out, these people that came to kill him started bowing down on the ground, bowing down. So later on, he asked, what happened? I mean, if it's you, what's going on? You're supposed to, do you understand? How you're supposed to walk is, I come out, I beg for my wife, you took me, I go and meet Jesus. This bowing down is not part of the plan. Then they said, well, the person he was talking to in the language said, when he came, before he came out, they didn't even see him. When he came out, they didn't see him. What they saw was two giant people, taller than the heavens, came out and stood in front of the hut. That's why they were bowing down. And we would not bow down. And of course, he linked it to the pastor who was in the U.S. praying. I'm thinking of Jesus and his apostles. At that Garden of Gethsemane, he took three of them, the rest of them were somewhere. Took three of them and said, pray. Pray. And they did not pray. They slept off. He came the second time and called Simon, Peter. He said, Simon, are you sleeping? Pray. Peter said, Master, sorry, we'll pray. All of you get up. Get up, pray. We are praying. Go, we are praying. You know, there are people like that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They can't pray. Every time it's time to pray, they are sleeping. Anyway, Jesus came the third time. And when he came, they got up. He said, it's enough. Stop praying. The time is at hand. Meaning their praying at that time was important. When they said they wanted to pray the third time, Jesus said, it's too late. Stop praying. Sometimes in your life, you have the leading of the Spirit to pray. You could be in the bus. Say, how can I be in this place? Pray there. Are you in this place?
Yes,
pray there. Someone says, after I pray, I did not hear anything. No. I was expecting that after I pray, someone will call me down and say they nearly died. They don't have to call you because they will not even link it to you. Are you in this place?
Yes.
But pray. Remember, we are all members of the same body.
Yes.
And if one part is hurting, the other part is hurting too. So at times, someone might need your help. And you get a signal. Pray. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do things on time. Do God's things on time. You're standing there. The Spirit of God says, talk to that man about the Lord. You say, yeah? Near those bin. No. No, think he's a dirty Jesus. No. So you don't. Not knowing that man is about to die. Until you get to heaven. But don't worry, there's no sorrow there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So this woman, being led by the Spirit, did the right thing on time, even though she really did not understand. Because she too, she didn't know he was supposed to die. Remember, we talked about seed time. Do you remember?
Yes.
The seed strategy. At times, God tells you, sow a seed now. You say, why? Everything is going smooth in my life. Ah! He has seen ahead. And he knows ahead is the harvest you need. That is not seed time. Do you understand?
Yes.
That is not seed time. Imagine if we say, by October, we want to see your orange trees. And it's October, you're planting orange seed. You have to plant earlier. Sometimes you just say, oh, God says, give this. Give it.
Yes,
nothing is too big for God. Obey the prompting of the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
And while you're doing it, some might not understand. They might criticize you. So what's wrong with this big fool? We are talking 1 minute here, started praying. Are you okay? Leave them. Leave them. Remember, I said, know your God. You're walking with Him. Follow His prompting for your life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And that is what spiritual understanding will give to you. When you understand things spiritually, you understand the reason why I'm getting this sense to pray now. It's not just because I like to pray. You have spiritual understanding of the matter. You know, for now, this is the will of God. Right now, He needs me to pray, and I'm going to pray. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't join people in their protest, or maybe you start a protest, whichever one. And someone is saying, you're not joining us. You're part of the problem. Leave them alone. If you have spiritual understanding, no, listen. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm not trying to be pompous or snotty. But if the one who sent me has not told me to be among, I'm not going to join. It doesn't matter how convincing you are. You are not the lover of my soul. You are not the possessor of my life. Why do you feel compelled to compel me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you deliver yourself from being like the apostles and mind your business. And then you're sensitive to this. Say, I'm sensitive
to the promptings of God.
And I obey the Spirit of God promptly. Say, in my life, there is no delay in my walk with God. I'm walking with Him every step of the way, precise, accurately. I'm walking in His perfect plan for my life. Stand up on your feet, let's pray. Go to Colossians 1 verse 9 again. Colossians 1 verse 9. Are you ready to pray?
Yes,
if you're not ready to pray, get ready. Just for a few minutes. But I hope when you get back home, you pray. But this prayer is so important. It's so important. It's so important. So someone you don't know will not use you as a tool. It's so important. So you not get yourself aggravated about things that you should not be aggravated about. It's so important. So when God says do something that is necessary for your future, your destiny, your life, your family, you will not waste time arguing or wondering if it's God. When God says get up, leave that place, you will get up and leave. You not say, I just arrived. No, you get up and go. When God says talk to that person, you talk to that person. And you do all of those things accurately when you have spiritual understanding. So in verse 9, he tells us, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And this is our prayer this afternoon. You're praying for yourself.
You know God's will. It might not look like what man says is his will. Different people might be against that will. But you have spiritual understanding. And you know this is God's will. This is what he wants me to do right now. And so in the name of Jesus, you're doing what he wants you to do. Pray. Pray. See, you're going to pray. You're praying that your understanding is flooded with light. You understand. You know the will of God. You know all wisdom. All spiritual understanding. What might seem simple, normal, unnecessary to man, you understand that it is vital to God. You know the timing is vital. You know the place is vital. You know the person is vital. Why? Because you walk in spiritual understanding. That time God tells you pray, you might be praying for a family member. You might be praying for a business project. You might be praying for an ambassador that is linked to something concerning your life. Because you have spiritual understanding, you not waste time delaying. You not waste time complaining. You not waste time seeking counsel from people who do not know God. But you're going to walk with the Lord. You're praying that you are filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding.